Hello, lovelies, and welcome to another edition of LGBT in the Ring, your rainbow bastion for all things pro wrestling. I am your host, Brian Bell, here with you once again, and we have a very fun one in store for all of y'all today. Our guest this week is the Spotlight, Logan Knight, someone who made their Kudo UI debut this past year, as well as a very well-known and beloved wrestling presence in the Oklahoma independent wrestling scene, as well as parts of the Texas scene, Kansas, Arkansas, all that good stuff there. Down in, I guess, what has been coined the heartland of the Midwest a little bit. It was really cool to have Logan on, you know, and to talk about a region in a pro wrestling sense that we don't really get to talk about a lot. That doesn't get a lot of focus put on it in the greater, like, larger national independent wrestling purview, I guess you could say. And we have a really good conversation about, like, what the Oklahoma scene's like, how Logan, you know, is taking inspiration from other areas of the country in terms of, like, wanting to bring positive changes to it in a way. And we also get into his own, like, you know, process of coming out last year as pansexual, and, you know, how that has informed his desires to work with more queer inclusive and queer led promotions and that sort of thing. And he has some lofty goals for 2024 in that sense too. Goals that I think are definitely within reach for him. But this is a really fun conversation, and also I think a very important one, considering, you know, we don't bring up in this conversation anything regarding the whole current situation involving, you know, the unfortunate passing of Nex Benedict and how that has, you know, turned into another, like, rallying point for LGBTQ, specifically trans and non-binary populations within the community, in terms of, you know, how our very existence is being threatened by political and cultural forces within, you know, areas of the country, and specifically when it comes to Nex within Oklahoma. So, you know, I think this is a very vital conversation to kind of talk about at least in a pro wrestling sense, you know, as much as that is part of the larger cultural aspect of the state of Oklahoma, you know, hearing some positivity from a queer voice and, you know, kind of looking to someone that's looking to wanting to change at least one, like, cultural aspect of the state there. And, you know, I think it plays into a bit of what we are seeing right now in terms of, you know, the push within Oklahoma now in the wake of, you know, Nex's passing, that that will hopefully lead to a curtailing of these attacks, as well as, you know, broader cultural acceptance of, you know, people from our community within that state and others where these attacks are still going on. But, you know, I don't know. I think it was very apt that this conversation happens amidst the larger conversation that is being had, you know, and is being, like, motivated a lot by people that, you know, want to continue this fight, you know, in the name of Nex Benedict, you know, myself very much included in that, even if I'm not on the ground in Oklahoma the way that a lot of other people are. So, yeah, just a really great conversation with Logan here for y'all today. Quick update on some other housekeeping stuff here on the show. Just to let y'all know, our Patreon show, Required Reading, will be back in the month of March. And I have already selected the match for it. And we're just waiting to set a film to go along with it and a recording date with myself and Hollis to get that out here before the end of the month. It will be out before the end of the month. I assure you, we have had conversations, and we are definitely getting better about setting that schedule for all of y'all, so we're not gonna be bleeding over in the same way that we have with January and almost with February. So I can let y'all know, though, the match that we're gonna be watching is Chris Colt and Ron Dupree, collectively known as the California Hells Angels, taking on the tag team of J.J. Dillon and Arnold Skolin from 1968 or 1969, the Detroit area big time wrestling promotion. There, I think it's a very apt thing to talk about because, you know, obviously on this show as well as the shows that we do on our Patreon, I do like to center queerness in conversation around pro wrestling and other media. You know, there have been episodes of Required Reading where we haven't done that, you know, because there are obviously other moments of importance and other stories to be told within the pro wrestling space that don't directly relate to queerness. But, you know, looking at what we did with the talking about Sandy Parker in February alongside the Watermelon Woman, I kind of wanted to continue on that tip a little bit and talk about Chris Colt a bit, because that's someone much like Sandy Parker that is someone that I think that doesn't get spoken about enough. I know that there is an episode of Dark Side of the Ring coming up about Chris Colt as well, but you know, I wanted to have our conversation before that released, honestly, just because I don't know if there are going to be any queer voices centered in that, because there's so much about Chris Colt's journey through pro wrestling that heavily involves the centering of queer voices in a way, you know. So we're going to do that here. So that's the match that we're going to be talking about this month on Required Reading. If you want access to that show, as well as all the past episodes that we've done dating back to last summer, you can subscribe over at patreon.com/LGBTRingPod at the $5 tier and gain access to all of those really fun and informative shows that I feel they're informative. And I always feel weird about like praising my own work in that way, but I really enjoy these shows and I really do think that they are worthy of the support that we have gotten so far from them. So just really great to see. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for us here in the intro. Let's just jump right into my conversation with the spotlight, Logan Knight. What's up, guys, gals, and non-binary pals? Welcome back to LGBT in the Ring. And I'm very pleased to have as my guest this week someone who has turned himself into somewhat of a belt collector in the Oklahoma or the greater Oklahoma area, let's just say. He is not only did he hold at least 5 different championships that I am known of that landed him a spot in the QWI 200 last in 2023 for the first time, but he also is the reigning Oklahoma fan wrestler of the male wrestler of the year, as well as the winner of Match of the Year and Feud of the Year for 2023. There's a lot of accolades that I can continue to throw out there. We'll touch on them as we go, though. The spotlight, Logan Knight, is here with us today. How are you doing today, Logan?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on, Brian. I was trying to think about it, and like a year ago, I definitely would have been like, yeah, these are all my belts, and I could definitely tell you which company and which belt it is. And now that I'm trying to think about it, I was like, was it really 5? That's crazy. Empire, Majestic, 2-time Majestic, Core. Wow, 5.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I went back and like reread, like, because I have to like refresh my memory sometimes whenever I'm going into interviews like this, just because like you can only store so much in your brain at one time. So like, yeah. I went back and like reread like my QWI entry that I wrote for you, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. He just won a shitload of titles.
So there's a lot of companies in Oklahoma. It makes it like, it doesn't make it like easy, but it makes it like more available, I guess is the word.
Yeah.
I've won a couple. I've won one out of state championship already. I'm a Texas champion right now, and nice. I'm probably trying to do that again here pretty soon at a different company, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes, you know. But all the accolades are nice. It makes the end of the year feel all warm and fuzzy.
I can imagine for sure, especially whenever you have like the like one of the like main sites specifically for your state's wrestling scene, like winning those awards with the Oklahoma Fan Awards. Like, I want to talk to you about the greater Oklahoma scene a bit, just because like, you know, it's a region of pro wrestling that doesn't really get talked about a whole lot outside of the area that you're in. But before we get there, like, just what was your reaction to like seeing, because those are fan voted awards, correct?
Yeah, they are.
What was your reaction to seeing like the fan base of the Oklahoma wrestling area like just like shower you with praise with these three
It
awards?
made me feel like pretty good because like the match of the year and the feud of the year thing were nice, and it's like I'll take any award that it ever comes my way. I'm never gonna be like, no, don't give me that nice looking trophy or plaque or championship, you know? It's they're all beautiful. But yeah, like winning Wrestler of the Year just made me feel pretty good because there's some promotions in the state where I'm a good guy. There's some promotions in the state where I'm a bad guy. So, you know, being able to just get the overall, like, this is the guy vote makes me feel pretty good, especially when they're like, I'm not even scratching the surface for Oklahoma. There's so many talented guys here. So it makes me feel like I finally kind of like proved my worth in a way. Like I proved that I can hang with everybody, at least from a fan's perspective, you know?
No, I can totally understand that and definitely see how winning those kinds of awards, you know, especially for fan voted stuff, can be incredibly validating, you know, especially considering, you know, that there is this whole like dichotomy of presentation, obviously, like a lot of independent wrestlers, like you're a good guy somewhere, you're a bad guy somewhere. But it ultimately just speaks to the ability to like connect with the fan base in that way. And that's a really awesome thing to see that you're still able to do that, even like whenever you're like, you know, throwing out these different versions or ideas of the spotlight, depending on where you are.
And that's really what it's about. Like I care more about the fan award votes than I do about the like Oklahoma fan has their ranking system, and they have a batch of guys that decides the ranks and stuff. And like I was absolutely shocked to be on your QWI. So that was like another thing that I was like proud about. But it's like really the fan awards they get to me, because I don't think like everybody knows this in wrestling, but like everything the wrestlers do, it's like for the fans. So it's just like that's what, in my opinion, is the most important thing. Like I don't need to be Daniel Bryan. I don't need to be like Cody Rhodes. As long as I'm like connecting with the fans, man, it's that I think I'm doing my job right.
That it definitely seems like you are.
Yeah.
So
That's where the whole spotlight character came from, man. I just want attention, good or bad, and if it gets me to the next level, that's what the spotlight's all about, man. I just want
hey,
all the attention.
there you go. Nothing wrong with that. I mean,
Not at all.
that's what wrestling's all about, right?
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier when a lot of people are looking at you. It can be nerve-wracking, but if you have a bunch of people looking at you, you never know who might be the right person looking at you.
No, it's very true. It's very true. You know, so let's talk a little bit about like the Oklahoma scene as a whole, real quick, because, you know, I think you're the first person on this show that's, you know, regularly wrestles in the Oklahoma area that I'm aware of, and like I said before, it's a scene that, you know, doesn't get a whole lot of like the larger national attention put on it in the same way that we've seen other regions in this like recent boom of independent pro wrestling get the same spotlight in a way. How would you describe the Oklahoma scene for yourself?
When I first started wrestling in 2019, like started training, and I did make my debut in 2019 in June. So around that time, like the 2018 period, is when I started figuring out that there was indie wrestling in Oklahoma. And I would say around that time, it was rugged. I wouldn't say there were too many guys under the age of like 30, maybe even 35. It was a lot of just like older guys from the 2000s that were still trying to tear it up as much as they possibly could. And a lot of those guys are still around today, but in like Oklahoma nowadays, and it's 2024, about 5 years later, there's been a crazy resurgence of just like young talent. Like for a hot minute, me and my tag partner Derek James, he's 22 right now, I'm 25 right now, I just had my birthday last weekend. we
Oh,
were
happy
the we were
birthday.
the young we thank you we were the youngest guy in Oklahoma for a really long time. And in the last like 2 years, I would say, with core professional wrestling and then Wrestling for a Cause opening their training schools in Tulsa, as well as Texoma and Ardmore, a bunch of new guys and younger guys started coming through and training for wrestling. And a lot of the guys that started training in Tulsa were guys that were going to shows when they were 12 or 13. So it's like legacy fans that are like pulling through on the dream of, I want to be a pro wrestler. And it's really nice to see that those kids you saw running around a couple years ago are like finally in the ring with you. It's that kind of thing. And it makes me feel good because I like I'm 25 and I'm still young, but at the same time I finally get to feel old in a way.
You get to be the grizzled vet.
Yeah. It feels nice. I mean, like my 5 years is coming up and that doesn't feel like it's been nearly long enough, but I've had already like 215 matches after this weekend. So like, ooh. I feel like about a cool amount of matches and some of the younger guys trust me a little more than they probably should because I'm still figuring it out too. But we're all learning together, you know. I would say Oklahoma has been on like a boom would be a bad word, but its growth is trending and it doesn't look like it's going to plateau anytime soon. Every training class that comes up through the seasons, it's always a younger group, a younger cast, and there's even older guys giving it a shot now. We have guys that are starting at 40 or 45 and they wow. start out and they're fantastic, but it's also just all reliant on guys traveling and bringing back information for the guys that aren't so capable of traveling. That way we can get our state better as a whole at the moment, because there's a lot of guys in Oklahoma who don't travel, and it doesn't matter if you're wrestling in Atlanta, Houston, Philadelphia, all those hotbeds for wrestling. You still need to travel outside of those hotbeds to make a name for yourself. You can't just get a name for yourself in one location. I mean, if you do, fantastic. I'm not saying it's like statistically impossible, but for the majority of us, you need to travel and put in the miles. And with the younger cast coming in, I'm talking young, there's some 17, 16 year olds coming in. That's just like, hey man, I have high school. I cannot travel to Tennessee randomly with you on a weekend. But yeah, I would say Oklahoma's on the up. It always is. I feel like wrestling is always on the up in a certain way, and then people get down on it sometimes. But yeah, Oklahoma is going to do great as long as everyone does their role in trying to make wrestling greater as a whole around here and not try to, like, you know, diminish Oklahoma. There's too many guys that want to be like, get the hell out of Oklahoma as fast as you can. You're never going to do anything there. And I feel like that's never been super helpful. And no knock on them. I mean, if it works for them, it works for them. But I personally want to try and, you know, do what I can to make Oklahoma a place that people want to wrestle.
I think that's a kind of a valuable goal to have, honestly, because, like, you know, yes, there's always the ambition of wanting to, like, branch out and wrestle in new places and get your name out there further, just advancing your own career in that way, depending on what your goals are and that sort of thing. But at the same time, like, you know, and this is specifically relevant to the independent scene. Like, a lot of people still hold a lot of love for where they come up from, for where they call home, and want to, you know, not just advance their own careers, but also, like, keep building something positive where they're at. I mean, we've seen it, you know, with AC Mack, his work in the Atlanta area and the Southeast over the last, you know, couple of years. We've seen it in, you know, parts of the California scene, parts of the Las Vegas scene, parts of where I'm at in the Pacific Northwest, and of course over in the Northeast, where, like, all the King IWTV promotions run constantly up there. So it makes total sense that there would still be this thought process for you of, like, I don't want to just abandon, like, where I'm from, like, especially if you're already noticing a positive trend in the right direction. You know, like, I'm curious to ask you, like, do you feel like, because I've watched some of your vlogs in the past, and I know some of the things that have come up there is, like, talking about, you know, whenever you started training, like, it wasn't like a readily available thing all the time for you. No. So having, like, established schools there for young kids to go and train feels like a really giant positive step.
It is. It's such a giant positive step, because when I got brought into wrestling, it was just two guys at the end of the very first indie show I ever had gone to. I was just standing there still watching them tear down the ring after the show, just amazed, because I was like, wow, this is my first indie show. This is awesome. I was like 18, maybe 19 going into college. And I just recently learned about, like, indie wrestling and stuff like that. I didn't know about it till I was probably like 16. I didn't understand Ring of Honor was independent wrestling, but I knew about Ring of Honor forever. But, you know, everything kind of sort of came together at that point in time. And I went to an indie show, and, you know, these two guys watched me stare the ring down, and they were like, hey, do you want to be a professional wrestler? And I was like, yeah. And they tried to help me out as best as they can. But Oklahoma City, where I am originally from, and I live slightly outside of it now, I guess, but where I'm originally from, there was not a training school at the time. There were dudes holding training sessions on the weekends of shows before the show, but there wasn't like, hey, this is a training school. Go pay this guy. This is how long you'll be here. Here's the accolades of the trainers or anything like that. It was just kind of like, it was real, real old school in a way. And honestly, it made me appreciate that, because like a lot of people aren't going to get that old school authentic like uprising in wrestling anymore in 2019, 2020. It was a really weird time for me to get handed that. But I bounced around to Drake Gallows, who ended up actually being my trainer after a little bit, but I originally went to him. He had no clue he was supposed to train me after the guy I was paying for 3 months said he was going to train me. Very fun carny stuff. I'll leave Sounds names like out it. Of that situation, but it builds character in a way. After that, I went to Empire Pro Wrestling, which is my home promotion, where I got my first heavyweight championship last year, which kind of kicked off all those title wins. It was a lot of momentum that I needed, but that's my home company, and I tried to train there, but they lost their venue, so I was kind of left without a school, and I was gonna be like, oh, this doesn't stop here. This doesn't just stop because I can't find a school right now, you know, that kind of thing. And then someone told me about a school in Bristow, which was about an hour and a half from where I was living. And as much as it sucked, I did it 2, sometimes 3 times a week for 6 months to get trained by a guy named Brandon Groom, who used to do FCW in like 2003, 2004, kind of like that John Cena, Randy Orton type era. He's a great guy. Love Brandon Groom. Death. I after 6 months, I couldn't keep going back and forth as a 19, 20 year old, an hour and a half. I was working fast food, man. I don't know what to tell y'all. Like, I could not pay for the gas for that commute.
Yeah, it was a struggle.
But no. After that, Drake Gallows, who was originally supposed to train me, he finally picked me up and he started his own little promotion and training school. And I've been training with them ever since, and I still train to this day. I'm one of the trainers there now with him that helps the young guys in Oklahoma City, greater area, try to, you know, make their dream a reality, and that makes me feel pretty good. I always thought about what outside of wrestling I would do if I couldn't ever wrestle, and being a booker sounds like a goddamn nightmare. Excuse my French, but I never want to be that personally, but you know, trainer makes me feel pretty good. I get some satisfaction out of it, and I learn how to work with younger guys better. So it's a teaching moment for me in a way too. It makes me feel satisfied in a way I didn't think I would get from wrestling.
It's interesting to like think about, like you said before, like, you're 25. You're coming up on your fifth year anniversary, so to speak, in wrestling, and you're already like, it feels almost like this expedited process of like getting to that like veteran status and like going in and like training younger guys and like this sort of thing. Like, it just feels like with the growth that Oklahoma has had, like it's almost like the people like yourself and maybe even your tag partner Derek, like these younger guys that would be considered younger guys in like other regions are already like taking on this like veteran mindset and this veteran approach to continue like cultivating the scene a bit. Like, is that something also that you've kind of taken notice of more so?
It is. And I'm not trying to say I'm a trainer in the sense of like, I deserve to be training these kids. I'm just readily available. And I'm there as someone with a little bit of experience that can help someone that is newer, because I was newer more recently than our head trainer Drake. He's been wrestling for 15 years, so I probably relate to them a little more and could probably explain stuff a little bit better. That's the only reason I'm there. I don't have a plethora of knowledge, but hey man, if I can help, I can help. I think a lot of what helps with that is, especially with Derek, my tag team partner Derek, he has been training for wrestling since he was 14. So he is already an 8-year, 9-year veteran at 22.
He's on that Brit timeline.
Yeah, man. It's dangerous. But all the love for him. He is easily probably the smartest wrestler I know. He's very technically good. I'm more of like a character and, you know, working the crowd. And like, I have my moments in wrestling, but he's like, God, He's like the Daniel Bryan of Oklahoma. He's fantastic. I love the kid. Little shout out for him. I hope he watches this. But there's a lot of younger guys that are below the age of 30 now that are like 5 year, 8 year, 10 year vets in Oklahoma that are able to just like instantly pop off a bunch of knowledge to the younger guys because we travel a ton. Like I know all these guys that are on airplanes and stuff flying from booking to booking for these big indie shows like GCW and stuff. They're getting the real miles, and I wish I could, but I am in a car most of the time. Last year, I didn't even really make a goal out of it, but I ended up traveling the circumference of the earth, which is 25,000 miles just in my car. And there's a certain kind of like crazy and like, I don't know, like hair that it puts on your chest when you have to drive that long in a year. needless to say, imagine. I think I ended up having like 77 matches. I was booked most every weekend, every year. So I was always in a car, and I'm good now. Don't get me wrong. I love the car rides. It's just like, we all travel a lot. And I wouldn't even say I'm the most traveled wrestler in Oklahoma. Like Derek, he travels probably way more than I do. I don't even want to begin to think of the numbers. I'm just anal and like to write down everything that I possibly can and keep track of statistics because while having Oklahoma fan is great, they don't keep like your win loss, they do who you wrestle, but they don't keep your win loss or like what town you wrestled in or like that kind of thing. Well, they'll have the events and the information of the events, but I like to keep my stuff more detailed and like keep track of my mileage and that kind of thing. And I don't know, it makes for good Facebook statuses, and it makes for uplifting posts because some kids will see that and be like, I didn't know he was doing that. He makes it look so easy. Maybe I should like start doing that. And it's like, God, I hope I do make it look easy because you're in for a rude fucking awakening, man.
Does that like sort of commitment to like keeping track of all these things for yourself? Is that something that came to you whenever you started with wrestling, or is that like a kind of been a personality trait for you, like your whole life?
I would say it's kind of like a thing I've done my whole life. I am autistic and I am just extremely routine and like to keep track of things. And I mean, I'm also an incredibly messy person, so both of these statements can be perfectly valid and invalid at the same time. It's just there's certain things I like to keep specific track of down to the very fine point. And my schedule is one of them. My routine is one of them. And like keeping track of my bookings, like I have bookings all the way out to like, I think I have two companies at least out till to December of this year. So like I keep track all in my notes. Like I keep track of the miles for each month and each show that I go to, just because like, I mean, it's vanity posting at the end of the day. Like I like to keep track of that just for like my own knowledge, be like, hey, that's pretty cool that I did that. But at the same time, it's definitely so people can see that on Facebook and be like, oh wow, that guy travels a lot. And then maybe they'll see a clip of me and be like, oh wow, that guy can kind of wrestle. And then like maybe someone in San Francisco hits me up and they're like, hey, do you want to wrestle on this car? And it's like, yeah, let me go get my car real quick.
It shows a commitment to making the drive.
Like I'll wrestle anywhere, man. Like there's a lot of companies that I would love to wrestle for right now. And I think I've made it my big mission in 2024. I would love to wrestle internationally, but getting my passport right now has been a battle of every demon imaginable and every circle of hell to try and get. Don't know why, but it's hard. And so working on that, but I want to wrestle for more like queer inclusive brands this year, because that doesn't really exist in Oklahoma because there's a commission here and dudes can't even wrestle women here. So wow. You can begin to imagine the issues that are already arising from that. it makes it very hard for any barriers to be crossed or anything to be, it's real. I'm not going to say it's real Bible belty here. Like I would say Oklahoma is the most progressive Southern state, but it's still a Southern state.
Grew up in a Southern state, I understand completely.
Yeah. But I mean, I just want to try and wrestle for more queer inclusive brands. There's a couple that I have reached out to and that I've like followed and keep tabs with. There's Full Queer in California. They look awesome. I love everything that they do over there. And I've never been to California and it looks amazing out there. There's also Pride Style in Las Vegas. I, yes. I They look amazing. And Olivier, she was on the QWI with me. She's an Oklahoma girly. She just moved to Las Vegas, and she, I mean, hey, maybe me and Olivier could wrestle each other on Pride Style. That's all I'm saying.
You never know.
But yeah, there's also so many people in the queer wrestling community that I had like no idea were even in it. Like 2 years ago, what made me even start the vlog is I was on a road trip with Derek and my one of my mentors, Merck, formerly Graham Bell. He wrestled for TWE in that kind of like Georgia, Tennessee area. And I met Ronnie Bass Jr. at a Georgia show that I was doing. And like
Yo,
me
we
and him
love the
bro'd it out at the
son of a
merch.
bitch on this show.
Yeah, me and him bro'd it out at the merch table. And I had absolutely no clue who he was at the time. And then when I followed him on Twitter, I was like, oh, son of a bitch. It's just they're everywhere, man. It's like that's another reason that I wanted to start helping Oklahoma so much is because when I took that trip out to the like Tennessee, Georgia area, like you were saying, AC Mack is training some absolute terminators of wrestling out there. It is insane. Like the I say there's youth in Oklahoma. There's youth plethora in the southeast portion of the United States. Like I went to the SEI tournament in 2022 and met Billy Starks and a few other people, and Rico Gonzalez was there, and just a lot of great indie talents. Like I watched Manders for the first time there, and I was just like, oh my God, like they got it figured out over here. They got hot crowds, they got like fantastic fast-paced wrestling, but they also can like slow it down. They know how to do everything. There was lucha, there was just it was like take your pick. You're a kid in a candy store basically, and that's what I want Oklahoma to be like. I want any type of wrestling fan to come to a show and get at least their money's worth out of one match, you know, because there's a little bit of something for everybody in wrestling.
No, I can completely understand that, and I'll obviously will echo what you have said about the Southeast. You know, like I'm originally from like Georgia, and so to see what that scene has built up in the last like 5 or so years has been amazing to watch, and to see that it's helmed by like a queer black man too. You know, like that is just so fucking dope to me.
Yeah, that's what that like shout out to that entire scene, because that's also another thing that pushed me to want to come out, because like not only was I starting to realize it more and more as an adult, and like it was a over time sort of thing with me. I wasn't born and was like, hey, I'm pretty gay. It was just kind of like one of those things where I like woke up when I was 22 and I was like, oh my God, I'm gay. Now that I think about it, and it's just like now I can openly talk about how hot I think dudes are with my fiance. It's fantastic.
Yes.
But no, like she shout out to my fiance. She was a huge help in helping me realize that I didn't understand how many like homosexual encounters I had growing up, and thought it was just like bros being bros. And I was like, oh man, you know what? Might have been gay. My bad. But like after seeing that area and how comfortable the fans and the wrestlers were with like the trans community and everyone being openly out and like having it pretty much be their gimmick, I was like, shit, we need that in like the Midwest. We need that over here in like the Heartland. We need that because there's 10, maybe not 10. Damn, there might not be 10 queer wrestlers I could name in this area, but like all of them are fantastic. And I love every single one of them. But like yeah, I it's an inspiration over there, so to say. I would love to wrestle over there again sometime.
No, I'm sure that it would be a welcome presence to have you back in that area, for sure. But it's interesting to hear that you talk about like the amount of like queer wrestlers that you know of in the Oklahoma scene, and to hear about like, you know, some of the obstacles that are present there as well. Like, you know, obviously you were already kind of somewhat deep into pro wrestling whenever you made the decision to come out last year.
Yes. Yeah.
What led you to that decision, and let me like, this is okay, I need to put this out like publicly, like for myself.
I think it was just a lot of people kind of already saw it within my gimmick. My gimmick's very flamboyant and just kind of erotic, not like sexual, but just like it's out there. It's pretty like Shawn Michaels 90-esque. Like I'm kind of I throw a little bit of Velveteen Dream in there, just like minus all the horrible shit, you know. But like I try, and a lot of people they just kind of go off the bat assuming I'm gay, and like you know, I was already kind of thinking about it at the time, and then being with my fiance, she helped me realize that the moments I was having growing up and the feelings I was having were definitely those of not being a straight guy like I thought. Also, I just realized, like, because at first I thought I was bisexual, and then I realized that, like, I'm also into, like, people who don't, like, aren't what they were at birth, you know, like, trans people. So I was like, well, I can't just, like, feel like bisexual is a rude, like, restraining word then in that term. And so I was like, I feel like I should be 100% with everybody and try to connect with the fans more and be more myself. And that's around the time where I was like pretty open about being autistic. And it's when I came out about being pansexual, because I think if you're 100% who you are, no matter if you're a good guy or a bad guy, if you let fans attach to any sort of thing that they can relate to, it's going to be a lot easier for you in wrestling. You're going to get over. And I don't mean to use my personality as a way to get over, but it's just like, that's how it is in wrestling. You have to market yourself. And I'm not going to let, you know, myself be watered down. And it's like, Oklahoma is bad enough to a point where sometimes you will get called maybe the F slur if you're doing gay stuff. Like, I've done the kiss spot before with one of my friends, and, you know, like, we got called the F slur. And it's like, hey, man, what are you going to do about it? Like, that's like, we literally, like, we chin up with them. It's like, are you going to do something about it? And it's like, they never do. Everybody's always just a fan here. They never want to, you know, have consequences for their words. And most of the people are cool now. Like I said, Oklahoma's progressing. We get those guys out of there when we can, because it's like, that's not cool. It's not cool in any sort of place. But it also teaches you to be a little more tough as a wrestler, because you can't just, like, let little bits of hate speech like that throw you off your game, especially when you present yourself as this, you know, this openly, you know, pansexual, gay, lesbian, whatever it is, trans icon. You know, it's like, the hate's going to come with the territory. Every sort of wrestling gimmick or person ever gets hate, and you just kind of got to be who you are. And I want to be who I am to the 100% fullest, you know?
No, I can totally understand that. And, you know, obviously, and it is, people always say, like, certain areas of the country, like, have, like, those moments of, like, you know, where you have somebody throwing out slurs and stuff like that. It's not certain areas of the country. Like, you go anywhere to a wrestling event in this country and you might run into somebody like that, you know? And, like, you know, even where I live, like, I live in Portland, Oregon. Like, you know, like, we have, like, the reputation of being just, like, the most open and free and blah blah blah. Like, and I've gone to pro wrestling shows. Like, when I first moved here, like, I went to a pro wrestling show, and, like, there was somebody just being blatantly transphobic in the crowd. And so, like, you know, like, it could happen anywhere, and it's really about the response from the community to it. And obviously, like, the evolution of that has definitely been a wonderful thing to see. You know, you speak about, like, you know, kind of pushing those people out if they're not willing to, like, change their views and attitudes and that sort of stuff. And you know, I've covered multiple events where, like, transphobic fans have been just kicked the fuck out, not by, like, promoters, but by, like, fucking wrestlers. So, like, it's cool to see that, like, the wrestling community is really, like, coming to the aid, like, really showing strong allyship in that way, you know, as a whole. Because obviously, like, us as part of the community, we're always gonna, like, you know, we'll stand up for our, like, you know, our siblings and that sort of thing. But at the same time, it's a different strength whenever you have, like, the greater wrestling scene that is very, like, cishet normative, that is being like, no, fuck y'all. Like, y'all don't belong here if you're gonna be like that.
It's incredibly helpful when it's not only just, like, the wrestlers, but also the fans, like, being like, hey, you prick, get out of here, like, that sort of thing. It's just it takes a village. But yeah, Oklahoma's on the up, and I feel really good with where things are going. I am just, I don't know, I'm proud. You know, wrestling makes me happier and happier the more I do it, and it's gonna be like that for a long time, hopefully. And may hopefully not get hurt. I had an injury scare on Friday when I had a wrestling match, and it was like, I was like, oh man, am I gonna be out for, like, an extended period of time? But you know, Aleve's my best friend, and so is Ice Packs. They really came in clutch. So I'm really excited to not be hurt. I don't think I've been hurt in wrestling so far. I just keep this train chugging along. It's been
No, I
nothing but
feel
a
you. I'm
uphill.
gonna knock on wood for you right here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because don't want Logan Knight, don't want anybody getting hurt. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in to LGBT in the Ring. We're just going to take a quick break here to let you know ways that you can support the show. And say thank you to some very rad people that help make this show as amazing as it is. First off, if you would like to support the show, we are on Patreon now, patreon.com/LGBTRingPod. Multiple tiers there for everyone that feels so moved to support this show. We've got numerous patron benefits over there, including bonus shows that are going to be coming out monthly, roundtable of those sort of things. So definitely go over and check us out. Again, patreon.com/LGBTRingPod. Every single dollar that is pledged there to support the show is very, very humbling, and we thank you. We also have a merch store over on Brain Buster Tees. Go to brainbustertees.com and search LGBT in the Ring. Get t-shirts, tank tops, all kinds of good stuff. And, you know, always looking at some new things as well. But definitely check us out on Brain Buster Tees there as well. You can follow the show on social media as well. We're everywhere that we have accounts. We're at LGBT Ring Pod. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, co-host, Mastodon, whatever. We're there. So follow the show there. You can follow me at WonderboyOTM on Twitter and Instagram as well. We also want to give a huge thank you to Sarah and the Safe Word for the show's theme, Formula 666 from the album Red Hot and Holy. You can find them on Twitter at STSWBand, or you can check out their music on both Spotify and Bandcamp. Another great way to support the show is over at independentwrestling.tv. Check out IWTV for the best in current and classic independent pro wrestling, including live events from top independent promotions worldwide. You can use our code LGBTRingPod or visit the URL tinyurl.com/IWTVLGBT. And whenever you, as long as you use that code to open your account and keep that active, we get a kickback from IWTV. So your subscription to watch all the great wrestling that we talk about on this show goes to support the show as well. Thumbs up there. Of course, if you want to read more of my pro wrestling writing, you can check out outsports.com. And if you are into video games, I also co-host a video game news Twitch stream every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. It's called the Mr. Video Game Super Show. I co-host that with two dear friends and Twitch streamers, Slacker Kite and Lady Merowin. Just run through the week's gaming news, or we throw on a game and play and just have fun and be dumb. It's great. But you can check that out every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at twitch.tv/deadsunentertainment, sun like the star. With that said, let's get back to the show. So you mentioned, like, you know, putting like this full part of yourself out there and being able to connect with fans and that sort of thing. What is it? Have you like run into any like queer fans at this point that have like seen something in you? And like, what have those interactions been like for you?
Oh, tons. Like there's a ton of queer fans in Oklahoma wrestling. Like I have a sticker where I copied the Bud Light Pride logo, but I changed it to Spotlight, and it was like my little personal logo. And I have it as the rainbow with all the pronouns and stuff. And God, man, it's my best selling piece of merch, I would say. Like, everyone loves it. And you know, you'll see little 14, 15-year-old teenagers at shows walking around with like their Logan Knight Pride stickers on their journals and backpacks, and it just makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I'm allowing, you know, not only like other wrestlers that feel the same way as me, but maybe even like the fans to be more themselves at the shows. I don't want anybody to feel like they can't be themselves in professional wrestling, because the whole objective is for people to love or hate you. It doesn't matter like what kind of person you are behind the scenes. Like, you know, we got to accept you either way, man. Yeah. Yeah, I just hope I can inspire people to be a little more comfortable with themselves. I have had struggles with confidence growing up as a, you know, just a poor constantly bullied kid, teenager, into just like kind of the same going into adulthood. I'm doing a lot better than I ever have in my life now, but like that would be the hope when you're 25 years into your life, you know. But I struggled a lot with confidence, and I don't want anyone to feel not confident where they're at. Like if a gay kid in Oklahoma is like, God, I don't know if I can ever be openly gay anywhere in Oklahoma. You can at a wrestling show that Logan Knight is on. I promise you. Like I just want people to feel safe.
No, and I think that's obviously a valid goal to have. Like that's the main reason why like these ideas of like visibility and representation are like so key, especially in areas where the amount of representation is, you know, smaller than in other places. You know, you brought up like Olivier, who made the QWI as well. Like I was also during that process, I know whenever I was evaluating talent, like I was looking at Malik Mayfield too. Yeah. And like, and you know, and it, I think you three were like the main ones from that scene that I really like found and was looking at. But to hear that there's more is always one. It's always great. I always love discovering new wrestlers personally, but it's also great because like it just makes the ranks of our community within this higher and provides more opportunities for people to see themselves in these spots and to build that confidence that like you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you like came out, because like I know that you've had like some, you know, friendships. I believe you have somewhat of a friendship with Remington Roar, if I'm not mistaken.
That's one of my best friends, man. I love Remington.
And of course, Remington, you know, he's out, bisexual, now. And so whenever you were coming out, was Remington someone that you turned to, or was there anybody else in the wrestling space that you kind of turned to kind of talk about, like, you know, what I'm doing this in the pro wrestling space? Like, is there anything that I, like, you know, anything like that, just kind of like bounce stuff off of?
I wouldn't really like say me and Remington ever had a conversation where it was like, hey man, I'm thinking about coming out. Can you kind of like advise me? But I think just over the years of knowing Rem, he has made me feel more comfortable in himself, because Remington is unapologetically Remington. And I love him for every bit of that. He's an inspiration. I like, we always call him my Pokemon evolution, because he looks like me, just ripped and jacked. You know, he's like the next upgrade. Which is funny, because he's my personal trainer and has been for the last year. So I have a lot to love Remington for. Not only his badass death matches, his amazing Viking warlord look, but also for helping me get in the best shape of my life and helping me, you know, advance in my wrestling career, probably in ways I never could have if I didn't get in shape. So like, shout out to my boy. Like I love Remington to death. He definitely made me feel more comfortable in coming out, especially with him having his partner Indrid around. His partner Indrid is fantastic, and they make me feel, you know, just at home. Like I'm on a playground. Like it's recess. It's great. It's fantastic. I always always feel like I can be a goblin, you know, just raunchy, you know. I love them both to death. I would say Remington's definitely a huge inspiration as far as just like me feeling more comfortable with myself. Like there's not too many other people I could look up to in the area. It was kind of just a personal assessment, and I wish wrestling kind of played a factor to it, but it didn't. I mean, maybe wrestling did contribute to me being gay. I mean, it's sweaty dudes in tights touching each other at the end of the day. So I mean, in a sense, that probably, it probably helped.
I mean, just look at Effie's clothing brand, right? We understand.
Talk about another icon, man. Effie's fantastic. That was probably another huge inspiration of why I wanted to be like unapologetically Logan and be the spotlight and be just out in every way. Cause I didn't just like, I wasn't just like out or talking about my mental struggles anymore. I was talking about what I liked as a person. Like I'm an NBA fan. I'm a huge video gamer. I post my Twitch stream links now, and it's just like, I'm trying to connect in every way I possibly can. And listening to Effie's podcast all the way through, just like, I don't know, I haven't gotten to meet Effie yet, but when you listen to a person speak for so long every day while you're at like just a low confident point in your life, and he's such an energetic, like believes in himself, believes in what he's trying to do, and believes in his like next step kind of guy. It's like, man, I want to be like him. And it's just like, trying to follow in those footsteps as best I can. I hate to be like, man, that's my Ric Flair, but Effie kind of is my Ric Flair. Ric Flair is my Ric Flair, but also Effie's my Ric Flair, except all the, you know, once again, the bad shit. But he definitely helped me a lot. So shout out to Effie. If I ever meet you, you're getting the firmest, hey there, brother, handshake of all time.
No, I look forward to the chance for you two to meet. I feel like y'all would hit it off pretty well. Just like having my interactions with Effie, you know, having the chance to talk to you for the first time. I feel like that would be a good mix for sure.
I don't know.
But you mentioned like, you know, providing visibility and kind of the branching out of the Oklahoma pro wrestling scene. You got to be part of a really cool and interesting pro wrestling presentation last year around the release of The Perfect Bastard by, you know, past guests of the show, Quinn. Talk to me about that event in and of itself, because like I've seen photos from it, and yeah, just the fact that you're like in the backyard of a house that has been turned into like an art collective sort of place, and like all of the lighting, and like Quinn's there in like full Perfect Bastard like get up and everything, and it's just perfect. Like I don't know, like it just seemed like a really fun night, honestly.
It was super fun. I did get frustrated at one point in the night because of the match I had, but the overall night was fantastic. Like meeting Quinn was great. There was only about like 5 or 6 wrestlers who showed up, and we only had to do 3 matches because there wasn't a whole lot of time for, you know, this isn't a wrestling card. This was a variety entertainment card. There were drag queens doing their bits, and there was poets doing live readings. And, you know, there was Quinn obviously doing the Perfect Bastard stuff. But the owner of the venue was even there and was super cool as well. The show overall, like it was so strange. It was like, that was probably my first instance of backyard wrestling. Potentially,
technically
it was backyard wrestling, but I had a lot of fun. It was me, my tag partner Derek James, a guy named Ricky LaVon. We had one referee, and then there was also my trainer Brandon Groom, and then there was a guy that did a clown Boink the clown. He did a Boink the clown like gimmick. And I had to wrestle the Boink the clown guy. Really weird match, because I don't think those people knew what the hell professional wrestling was when they got there, and they were like kind of digesting it. I was the first match on that card, and it's like, I don't have a problem with cricket. It's like, I've been there before, brother. I don't have 215 matches for a reason. Like some of those things have been like stinkers, not good. But I had to wrestle Boink the Clown, and I'm an opportunist, I would say. And I was trying to make the best of it. The finish of that match was him doing one of those, like, you know, you pull the string and the thing explodes confetti in your face.
Yeah,
he exploded that in my face, and I was like, that's all cool and fun, great finish. And when we were talking about it, I was like, oh wow, that's a great finish, that's really funny, they'll like that. And then when it happened, it just, I feel like that's the hardest I've ever been hit in my face before. Like, I've been punched in my face before, but that felt like, I don't know, it busted my lip, and like, I wasn't mad about all that. It's just like, damn, did I really just like get busted up by the confetti clown? Like, damn, like that's what pissed me off for the rest of the night. it was a self-reflection moment for sure.
I could imagine.
Overall, it's incredibly fun though. Like, shout out to Quinn for that event. Quinn needs to try and run more wrestling events with Brandon Groom if possible, because the more events we have like that, the more people like me are going to pop up on the independent wrestling scene. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we need.
Knowing like Oklahoma and how you described it, especially with like the commission and some of the, you know, continuing backwards thought about, you know, the presentation of pro wrestling that's present because from the top down there, what was it like for you to like wrestle in a space like that, that was like pretty explicitly queer? Like, I know it wasn't like a pride event sort of thing, or like, it wasn't like, you know, what we've seen pop up with like other like pride run promote or like queer run promotions or something like that. But I mean, you're there for an event centered, like at least partially centered around this this poetry collection that is all about pro wrestling and gender and queerness and all these different things. Like, was that something that was like personally validating for you to kind of be in a space that was like that, like queer forward?
Yeah, I wasn't even kind of disclosed the information of the event, and this happened almost directly after me coming out. It was like 2, maybe 3 months after. It was October or something like that. So it was like 2 or 3 months right after, and I was like, I'm not like I believe in a God for the purpose of I see signs in my life all the time, and that felt like a sign to me where I was like, okay, now I need to kind of like branch out more and see if there's more companies that are strictly just like this for professional wrestling. And so that's why that's been my goal for 2024, is to wrestle for more queer inclusive brands. Another thing that makes Oklahoma kind of weird as a wrestling territory is there is a commission. However, there is federally recognized Native American land in Oklahoma where the commission doesn't exist. And so there was two companies. There's three companies. There's only two now where you can wrestle women. You can, you know, you can have trans wrestlers and all that good jazz, and you can have death matches, because death matches also aren't allowed in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of takes a lot of like the want to come to Oklahoma away from guys that are from other areas like the Southeast or, you know, like Remington. I've been trying to get Remington to Oklahoma forever. However, he's like probably one of the biggest deathmatch guys in the country right now, and nobody's doing that shit in Oklahoma. So it's just kind of like, I mean, he can wrestle regular matches too. It's not like that's all he does. It's just like, yeah, that's where the money is. That's where the money is. And so it's just like, we're working in baby steps to try and get the commission to work with us. I believe that the people that were in charge just got elected out. And so there's new people in charge of the commission now for the first time in like over a decade, I believe. So we're hoping we can probably talk some sense into them to, you know, let intergender wrestling and trans wrestlers be about their business. You know, we want the deathmatch thing too, obviously, but that's we'll take crumbs if we can get crumbs.
I mean, you talk about the fucking journey of our community, like just fucking grabbing crumbs where we fucking can.
Yeah, man.
No, I feel you there. Like, I'm curious because, like, obviously, you know, you've worked at promotions that run in Texas as well. And, you know, mm-hmm. looking at, you know, a company like Uncanny Attractions that runs down in Austin, you know, it's like it's queer owned. They bring in a lot of, you know, it's queer heavy in terms of their talent base. You know, it's pretty much an all inclusive brand. But like, you know, I've watched a number of their shows since they kind of rebooted and started running out of Austin. And you see a lot of like trans representation. You see a lot of non-binary representation. You see a lot of, you know, just all around a lot of queer people on those shows. Do you feel like, maybe not necessarily just personally for yourself, but like, how much does the Oklahoma wrestling scene kind of look at Texas and like, just like in terms of like an inspiration sort of thing, or like any kind of like reciprocity there?
Oklahoma definitely looks at Texas like a blueprint. Like anytime that anyone's like, oh, you got to get out of Oklahoma as fast as you can, and you're like, well, where do I go? It's Texas. Every time someone's like Texas, and Texas is fantastic. I've wrestled in West Texas. I've wrestled one time recently now in the greater Dallas area, and then I wrestled one time in Austin for I don't think they were under the same name that they were running out of, but it was like a deathmatch tournament down in Texas a couple years ago. But I met Sawyer Wreck and a couple other people there. It was a really cool tournament. But I wrestled there on the pre-show, just as not a deathmatch, thank God. But like Texas has hotbeds, and like I got like they definitely have a huge queer community too. And I'm gonna have to look into this Uncanny promotion because I had no clue about that. Gonna have to, you know, do my weaseling, but like Oklahoma definitely looks at Texas like the blueprint. Everybody wants to go to Texas and get big in Texas and then think they're gonna explode out of nowhere, but it's just like you can't just go. Like people in Texas are thinking the same way that people in Oklahoma are thinking. They're like, God, I gotta get the hell out of Texas. Like I've met so many people that are like that too. It's like you just got to get out and travel no matter where you're at. That's why I say the hotbeds matter and they don't. It's like you can wrestle in the hotbeds, but if you're not wrestling you know, every weekend, sometimes twice a week, you know, like three times a week in every available region that you can. You're not going to get your name out as fast.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're not wrong. And it's it's interesting to hear that, like, there is that sort of relationship between, like, Oklahoma and Texas in that way, because, like, it makes me feel that much more hopeful to know that, like, you have a promotion like Uncanny and you have other promotions that bring in, you know, not just, like, you know, gay or lesbian or bi talent, but non-binary talent and trans talent as well. So you have that kind of already built into that blueprint that Oklahoma's looking at. To like, yeah, maybe there's like a just a through osmosis we get to see that growth happen a bit more in terms of, like, you know, bringing in more people from the community.
Yeah, there's like so many good things happening in Texas too. Like also another place I love wrestling in is Kansas. I wrestle at Heartland Championship Wrestling right now, and that is easily the most fun show that I work for top to bottom. Like, those people are my family out there, and it's amazing. Like, we have like 300 people, sometimes 400 people show up to just this random gym in Wichita, just going nuts for local wrestling. And it just feels good. It feels like wrestling is alive and well in Wichita, because you don't get those kind of crowds in Oklahoma. You know, when you get like 300 or 400 in Oklahoma, you're like, holy shit, like, what school did you pay out to, like, come send their student section over here? It's like, that's wild. But Texas is great. And an idea that there's this company called DFW in Dallas. They have this intergender tag team wrestling tournament going on right now called the Sadie Hawkins Invitational, where they have the female members of their roster. They have to choose out of three members of the male roster that the company gives to them to be their tag team partner in this tournament. And I'm like, that is fucking genius. That is amazing. Like, we need more of that.
No,
I'll be so blatant when I steal ideas. I don't care who knows. I am a certified idea stealer. You better get your idea out there before I do. Because that is genius work out there. Like, wish we were doing something like that here. Or maybe I just need to go to DFW. Either one.
So knowing that, was that part of the inspiration for the Only Friends tag team?
Yes. Okay. So Stormy, she's another one of my like day ones. Me and her started wrestling training around the same time. And she started with the promoter that runs Heartland Championship Wrestling. His name's Billy Simmons. He's the best promoter I've ever met in my entire life. Not just like because he's a good promoter, just because like that dude is genuinely a good person. And a promoter being a good person around here is that's difficult. And I just love Billy. He's made me feel like one of his own trainees and one of his kids from the very jump. My trainer, Drake Gallows, is sort of his kid. So he's like my wrestling grandpa in a way. But she got her training from him. And we've always been around each other since like the first day we started. And finally, we got to a point where like I pretty much sell, like, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I sell a lot of merch for the Oklahoma independent scene. Like, usually the merch line's popping, and for Stormy being one of the only female wrestlers in the region, her merch line is always popping. So we've always been like thinking about it, because it would be like the investment. It's going to be a good cash return at the merch table, faux show. So that was our first idea about it, because it was like we both need cash, sister. And but then we got booked for this company that's starting in it's not St. Louis, it's Kansas City. It's the Kansas City area. They're called Fountain City Pro, and it's this Friday. We're having our debut for Only Friends, and I guess this is releasing next week, so it's gonna be last Friday for whoever hears this. But
yes,
me and Stormy, we got booked for this, and they couldn't figure out where they wanted to put me. And then Stormy's opponent got injured, and then they were like, "How would you feel about tagging with Stormy?" And I was like, "Are you so dead ass right now? Because like this has been in the works for a fat minute, and we had like 4 months of notice." So I was like, "I can get merch, gear, name, promotion. I can get it out before we even like step through the ropes. Like it'll be so easy." And Stormy also finds big inspiration in Effie and Allie Catch, and it's like we kind of like that's the blueprint. Once again, we kind of like modeled it after them. Like we came up with a catchy name, and it applies pretty good because Stormy has her man and I have my fiance. And you know how it is with most mixed genders, it's always usually a couple, or it's a brother and a sister, and it's like it's always one of those two things. And we want to, you know, kind of expand the norm and kind of like play on the whole friendship aspect more. It's like the power of friendship, that kind of thing. Like we want to we want to bring a different element to the, you know, intergender mixed tag, whatever you want to call it, the professional wrestling scene. Me and Stormy don't care. Yes. You could be the Legion of Doom, we'll take you on.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, no, like it just seemed like a smart thing to do, and we're excited to get it up and going. We already have like 7 or 8 dates already confirmed, and we haven't even wrestled yet, so that makes me feel pretty freaking good.
Nice. I'm excited for that, for you, just to hear, like, without even stepping into the ring yet, y'all are already like making an impact on people in demand. So that's
cool. Yeah.
That's exciting. Like, and especially considering, like, I don't know, like, it's just, I love the continued like expansion of pro wrestling in terms of like the idea of the presentation, the idea of like, you know, breaking down like the barriers between gender in the pro wrestling space. And like, so the more and more like mixed gender tag teams that go out onto the scene is always better. And you know, more and more I hope that people like in the power structures recognize that, like, you know, it's just pro wrestling, it's all like consensual, it's not like this.
Yeah,
you know, those old narratives are gone, right? Like, yeah. we're not thinking about like all that bullshit anymore. Like, this is just,
that's another thing I think is beautiful about me and Stormy's tag team is like, she's like 6'1", I'm pretty sure. So please tell me that she can't whoop your ass. Like, I would love to hear it. I would love to hear it. There's all the believability is in her shoe size. Like, I don't know what else you need.
I'm right there with you. Well, Logan, as we start to wind down a little bit here, I just wanted to touch on a couple more things. One, what's been like the most gratifying moment for you in wrestling, like post coming out, would you say?
I would say easily just the fan influence, just knowing that I have like little kids out there that are like not only buying it because they're, you know, a part of the community and just don't like feel comfortable being that openly out yet, but this is the first step. It's a sticker on their notebook or their locker or their MacBook or their whatever they put it on, their backpack. I've had kids that do it just because they're like, yeah, my brother's gay, I want to be supportive, like that kind of thing. Just knowing that I can, like, I don't know, maybe make society as a whole a little less shitty through professional wrestling, that makes me feel really good about myself. And like, I hate that it makes it sound like everything I do is kind of out of vanity, but it's just like making people feel good is what makes me feel good. It just brings me joy.
I don't think that it's necessarily from a place of vanity, though. I think, you know, obviously, like I said, it's a pro wrestling. It's pro wrestling. Like, you have a part of it is like selling your personality. Part of it is like, you know, like that's just the business, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if like you can use that for good, like, I feel like that's what so many people that have been celebrated, you know, for their presence in pro wrestling and some of the stuff that they've done in terms of like fan connection and spreading, you know, more and more acceptance, cultivating this evolution of not just for like the queer community, but also for like people of color, you know, indigenous populations within the pro wrestling space too. Like, the more that you can expand and make people feel welcome in those spaces, the better. And so, like, you know, I understand where that thought process comes from, but just for me personally, on the outside looking in, for you, Logan, I would say like it's definitely doesn't feel like it comes from a place of vanity.
That's good. Sometimes I feel like I'm being selfish, and it's like, am I doing this just for me? But it's like, I mean, so what if I am, man? It makes me feel good, and another person feels good, and they get what they want. I'm an entertainer, and I'm a people pleaser at heart. So it is what it is. It works out for me.
Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with being like selfish for yourself every once in a while.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to put yourself first. Like, yeah. I've had to learn that lesson a lot over the years too, because I think we have similar mindsets where it's just like, oh, like, because like self-promotion for like the stuff that I do always weighs on my mind. Like, yeah. I'm just like, you know, throwing myself out there, like, you know, when people are going to, like, who the fuck would give a, would care what I have to think about something?
Yeah. Blah, 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 yeah. Blah, that's how know? I feel every time. I'm like, here's that new reel. Here's that new YouTube short. Here's that new Twitter post. I'm like, man, that 3 like Twitter post really banged today. Thank you. That's my nutrition for the night.
There you go. There you go. No. Well, last question for you, because I like to save like some like fun ones for the end most of the time. And looking through your bio on Oklafan that you did provide me, I will be up front. Like, we've been chatting in the DMs for a little while here.
Yeah.
And you did provide that for me, which was, you know, a very welcome read, I will say. A long list of titles, for sure, and awards. But one thing that stood out to me, because I know you have ties to Detroit, right?
Yeah.
And there's one factoid that I have to ask you if this is actually true or not. That's on your bio.
Go for it.
So your bio says that your grandmother used to babysit the Sheik's children.
Yeah.
Like the Sheik, the Sheik.
not Iron Sheik, but
No. I know what you're talking about. Like the Detroit Sheik, like the original Sheik. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to tell me about this. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's such a crazy story. I was talking with my mom about it because she had seen something on the news about Sabu. And I don't know if you know, but that's Sabu's uncle, I believe.
Yeah.
And so she was talking to me about how she had just like, she used to get babysat by, or it was my grandmother. Yeah, my grandmother used to babysit her kids, or vice versa. It was their grandmother babysitted my mother, one of the two. But she has a bunch of pictures of her as a baby playing with Sheik and his children and stuff like that, like in a yard. And I'm like, okay, what the fuck? Like, this is such a small world. It doesn't even make sense. Like, but yeah, that was a really fun call with my mother, because my mom loves professional, like, I wouldn't say she loves professional wrestling. She would watch it every week with me because, like, I'm her firstborn darling golden child son, and she would do whatever. And I appreciate her, and I think she did like wrestling to a degree, but she was always kind of like sort of around it. It was weird. Like, she was like down the road from Rob Van Dam, and she like never caught ECW, but somehow she was playing on the playground with Sabu's nieces and nephews. Like, that, like, that doesn't make sense to me. I feel like Rob Van Dam should be my dad and I should be a millionaire. That's what I feel like.
I mean, when you're in that close proximity, I can understand the sentiment. Yeah,
it only makes sense, man.
I don't know. I just read that and I was just like, what? Because, like, I know that you said you went to your first indie show, like, when you were, like 18, 19 years old, right?
Yeah.
And so, but to, like, so to see, like, just how deep the connection run for you, like, it goes even, like, before you were born, like, your family was, like, interacting with this shit.
It's been super weird connections. Like, the person who got me into professional wrestling in the first place was her younger brother. He was showing me like WrestleMania tapes from like 2002, 2003 of like the Hardys and Edge and Christian and the Dudley Boys having their TLC matches and stuff like that. And so that's what got me into professional wrestling. Edge is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. He's easily one of my goats. But that's what got me into wrestling. And so, like, wrestling was in my family going on, happening before I was even a thought. And, you know, I happen to have the same birthday as Ric Flair, who is technically the greatest wrestler of all time. So I feel like, I don't know, destiny, hopefully. Let's see.
You know,
fingers crossed.
Certain things just line up. There are certain signs that come across, you know?
I'm trying to thunderstruck. I'm trying to, like, do it like a, like that movie Kevin Durant with Thunderstruck, or like a Michael Jordan, like Mike. I'm trying to steal Ric Flair's power so we don't have to see him anymore.
Please find a way to. If I can figure out something, I will pass it along too, so we can expedite that process.
Any voodoo, it'll work. Like, we'll get it going.
Yeah. Anything to get Ric Flair off of my TV. At this point. Jesus Christ. No. Well, Logan, this has been a whole lot of fun. I'm really glad we were able to make the time to chat a bit more today. Let everybody know where they can find you online and anything you might have coming up.
For sure. I am at Logan Knight Pro on pretty much everything. I am Logan Knight on Facebook. I have TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, you know, all the jazz and the rock and roll there. But as far as like shows coming up, the thing I'm most excited for is the Only Friends debut. Like that's been heavy on my mind since I think we got that penciled down in December. So I'm super excited for that. But by the time this comes out, we will have already hopefully defeated Lainey Luck in GPA in our tag team debut. You freaking suckers. Ha ha. I hope I listen to this next Thursday and I am a winner. But besides that, I have some really cool things coming up. I am making a return to a promotion that I haven't been to since the end of the summer last year when I lost something very precious to me. So I'm looking forward to my first official comeback pop. We'll see how well that goes over for me. Besides that, I just keep getting more and more excited for me and Stormy's tag team bookings that we have coming up. We have one or two with each other at least once a month for the next couple of months. And it's gonna be really fun. We're wrestling everywhere. We're wrestling Kansas, we're wrestling in Oklahoma, Arkansas, we're trying to get Texas to bite, but we'll see where it goes. I mean, the world is our oyster currently. And just a special shout out to a new promotion that started out too, Skill in Kansas. They're in the middle of nowhere, like Southwest Kansas, but they're running these lucha shows on Sundays and they're putting on absolutely phenomenal, like just great stuff. They have taco trucks on the outside. They have like all these sorts of vendors. It feels sort of like a festival, like it's Cinco de Mayo every Sunday that they run. It's fantastic. Just check them out. Check me out. Check Stormy out. Watch professional wrestling. Watch LGBT in the ring, or I guess listen to it because it's a podcast. Yes. But do anything to support wrestling, man. I am just happy that I got to be on here.
Oh, we're happy to have you, Logan. Thanks again.
Yeah.
My thanks once again to Logan for taking the time to come on the show and share about his experiences in the Oklahoma pro wrestling scene, talk a bit more about that scene in particular, and to hear all the ways that Logan wants to bring positive change to it, as well as just the wild story of how his family and the Sheik are intertwined. It's always fun to see how deep some of those roots of pro wrestling go within, you know, within people and within families and stuff like that. It's just, there's always a little bit somewhere, right? You never know. You never know. You just have to look in the right spots. So thank you again to Logan there. We will be back next week with another episode of the show. Before we get out of here, though, I do have to shout out the roster of lovelies over at patreon.com/LGBTRingPod. Obviously, if you want to join the roster of lovelies and have your name counted among that ilk here on every episode of this show, you can do so by subscribing at the $3 tier over there. You can join names like Zach Walker, Alex E, Val Capone, and Jerry Legend here on the show of people who have their names shouted out in thanks for their support over there. At the $5 tier, you unlock all the bonus shows, all the episodes of required reading that we've done so far. You know, I talked a little bit about this in the intro, but just really, really great series that myself and my good friend Hollis have been doing for coming up on almost a year at this point. So it's just been, that's been a whole lot of fun to continue doing, and we'll keep adding to that as well over at patreon.com/LGBTRingPod. Obviously, not everyone can afford to support financially, and I totally understand that, you know, so rating and reviewing, word of mouth, spreading the word and the good name of LGBT in the ring is always welcomed, and we are very, very thankful for anyone who continues to do that, and for anyone that continues to support this show in any way that they do. It's always mind-boggling, honestly, to see how this show has gone and all that good stuff. And I know I'm probably going to have another one of those experiences coming up in Philly where, you know, there are people that know me and know the show, and that's always weird. If I'm ever awkward in those situations, it's just because, like, it is weird to me that there are people that know me that I do not know or that are fans of the show and that sort of thing. It's just a little odd. So, but not in a bad way. It's just, you know, in like a, wow, I need to have self-confidence way. Anyway, doesn't matter. I'm just going off on a tangent now. But yeah, so thank you so much for tuning in this week. We'll be back next week. But until then, y'all stay messy, wash your hands, wear your mask, get vaccinated and boosted, if at all possible. Same goes for monkeypox. And a very happy birthday to Trisha Dora. Bye.